You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
It's time to talk guide dog blogs. Yes, it's the segment for our beloved four-legged heroes. Today we are hearing from Jane Manley, who we spoke to in our sight loss story feature. Jane, thank you for coming back on.
No, it's lovely to talk to you, Hubert.
Before we talk about your guide dog, Rosie, who has now retired, can you tell us kind of when you first applied for your guide dog, you know, what swayed the decision in that direction? What convinced you that this is the way you want to go forward?
I was a very, very latecomer to guide dogs because my brain really couldn't grapple with the concept of a dog keeping someone with as little sight as I have fully stable and operational. So I didn't apply for a guide dog in the first instance until about 2008. And I was on a waiting list for ages and ages. And then I moved. So I then came over to Surrey from Hampshire. So was reattached to a different guide dog centre and the wait began again. So I didn't get Rosie until about 2018.
So what convinced you to do it? You know, what made you think actually a guide dog is now what I feel I'm ready for? Or that's what I currently want.
I think it was really when I started volunteering for the RNIB in London, who were then based in Judd Street. And although it's quite a straightforward walk with a long cane from St Pancras down to Judd Street, the sheer noise and volume of people and just, you know, simple things like trying to find markers that would help me move about St Pancras Station with a long cane and people not paying attention to me and walking into me. I just thought, this is ridiculous, you know. And by that time, because I was within the RNIB, I was actually meeting lots of other blind and partially sighted people who had dogs and who were going, well, why haven't you got a dog? And I was explaining that where I'd worked previously, it was very straightforward. I didn't need one. It was a very quiet county town. And, you know, finding my way around was relatively straightforward. But I really began to realise, talking to others who had dogs, how much their lives were improved and widened by having a dog.
Let's talk about the first time you met Rosie. You know, can you tell me a bit about the matching visit and when Rosie first came to see you, or you came to see her? Which way was it?
So Rosie was brought to me, and when she first came into the house, she would have been about 18 months old and absolutely bonkers. She was really hard for Emma to control. She wouldn't sit. She kept, you know, wanting to move around my living room and sniff. And she just seemed absolutely manic. And I remember Emma going, well, I'll just nip out to the car and get a harness and we'll do a practice walk. And my partner and I had been terribly British, going, oh yes, that'll be lovely. And as soon as Emma was out of earshot, I was like, I can't go out with her, she's insane, she'll kill me. So my first impression was, how on earth do dogs that have this much energy and personality keep you safe and do their job? So I was really nervous initially.
When you did your practice walk, when the harness went on, you know, how different was it for you?
It was, oh, she was like night and day. As soon as the harness went on, you could almost hear the cogs in her brain going, all right, we're working now. And she was calm. She very quickly got my pace. She didn't have any problems with my tone of voice or the commands I was giving her. And certainly when we were out on one of the main roads near me, where there are lots of trees and tree roots on the pavement and overhanging hedges, you know, all of those obstacles that we all hate, smoothly moved me around, quickly understood how tall I was. So, you know, I remember at one point going past a big delivery truck that was taking something off to a house and parked over the grass and partly on the pavement, and then to my left was more grass, and she slowed me down and gradually sort of curved my walkway around the truck. And I remember thinking then, this is amazing, because before I probably would have walked into the wing mirror or crashed into the truck. You know, it's that difference between, as you say, the fluidity of movement that you get with a guide dog and the more clunky finding things out and sorting them out in the moment that you have with a long cane. So as soon as we'd walked maybe a mile, I am having this dog. It is never leaving me.
Let's talk about Rosie then. You know, I mean, we've mentioned she was a bit bonkers when you first met her. What's Rosie's personality like?
She is incredibly social and always has been, to the extent that guide dogs introduced a say hello command for the sake of our teamwork on things. I obviously am quite happy to say, I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry for a train, we can't stop by. But sometimes if there are situations where I'm more than happy for someone to interact with Rosie because she so enjoys it. So we taught her the say hello command. So she, you know, would ignore everyone. But when I felt the situation was right, I would give her the command and that's it. She would lie on the floor, roll over so that her belly was available for hugs and just suck up all the love that anybody wanted to give her. And we found that that was really good if we were interacting with children who were frightened of dogs, because parents trust guide dogs. They know that they're well trained. They know that they're peaceful, quiet dogs in many senses. So we often found that parents would actively say, look, my kid's afraid of a dog. Do you mind if? And Rosie would simply excel in those situations. She would lie very still and let the child stroke her. And it would just give children that sense that not all dogs were frightening. So that was always a nice thing to leave someone with.
Now, when it comes to, you know, you've mentioned the story about the delivery truck, but, you know, are there any other working skills that you thought Rosie particularly excelled at?
She's very good and still is very good on a follow command. And sometimes that works better. So if I'm in, for example, if I'm getting off at Gatwick Airport, which is one of my local stations, you can imagine busy, lots of cases, lots of people crisscrossing your path. But if we introduce her to the person who's guiding us away from the train and out of the airport, and I get her to follow that person, she does, but she also guides me appropriately. So it's actually so much easier to get out of somewhere because the person we're following is just walking at a normal pace, heading out to the exit and maybe a few feet in front of us. But Rosie will make sure we're always where they are, but we are there safely on her terms in guiding me.
A bit I like to end on, because to me that's always amusing to talk about. Has Rosie got any funny habits, any amusing things she likes to do?
Not so much now, because my partner has retired as a policeman. But when we were working in Judd Street and travelling around the UK as part of my job with RNIB, she had a really, really cute but bad habit of focusing on police uniforms. So if she saw a policeman, especially if they were in high vis and actively working a scene or something, she had to go to them. And of course, I don't know that that's what she's doing. I think, oh, we're just, you know, taking a route to the place we want to go and we're probably avoiding obstacles, until you hear some gruff man going, can I help you, madam? And it turns out she just fixated on the police because she thinks, well, you know, dad wears all that stuff and those high-vis jackets. Maybe that's dad. So she would always take me to policemen. Great fun for conversation, but not where I always wanted to be.
Although they can provide good assistance sometimes if asked. So, yeah. Love that. Fantastic. Well, Jane, Rosie sounds, as most guide dogs, very much adorable. Thank you very much for coming on and telling us about Rosie here on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.